May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 770. The God that rules on high and thunders when he please, that rides upon the stormy sky and manages the seas, this awful God is ours, our Father and our love. He shall send down his heavenly powers to carry us above. Hymn 770.
From the Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, in the prophecy of Micah, reading the whole of chapter 6. The prophecy of Micah, chapter 6. And then we'll read some verses in the first epistle of Peter. The prophecy of Micah, chapter 6. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weight? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sin. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied. And by casting down, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall hear the reproach of my people. Now we read some verses in the first epistle of Peter, the end of chapter 4, and to verse 11 of chapter 5. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 17. Through to verse 11 of chapter 5. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord grant his blessing to each one of us in the reading of his holy and sacred word. May he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty and eternal God, we fall before thee, Lord, at this evening hour, conscious of our great sinfulness and our many transgressions. But, O Lord, how we must appear in thy most holy, those most holy eyes of thine. Filthy, wretched, just a sink of sin. And, Lord, we confess we are only fit to be cast out of thy sight. But Lord, enable us now, through the help of thy Spirit, to plead that precious name and sin-atoning blood of thy dear, only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou didst send to be the acceptable sacrifice for sin. Lord, give us faith to view a suffering Saviour. Give us faith, Lord, to view the Saviour of sinners. And oh, may we hear his voice, a voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary. Lord, thou knowest each heart of us here tonight before thee, and those that listen in to the service. O Lord, do not leave us untouched, but put within us that sense, that vital sense, of the need for forgiveness, of that pardon through Jesus' blood. For only through that blood can there ever be any remission of our sins. Lord, we come this night in solemn days, thy wrath poured out upon the whole of this world, And Lord, we are not exempt from it. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt physically shield us from that virus which is affecting so many at this time. Lord, that thou wilt enable us to conduct ourselves wisely in thy fear. But Lord, do be a shield about us. Help us to conduct ourselves daily in all that falls upon us to attend to, pleading thy help, pleading thy guidance, pleading thine upholding. And give us thankful hearts, Lord, at the end of each day when we have been brought safely through and can lay our heads down upon our pillows in rest and sleep. Oh, Lord, we do not deserve the least of thy mercies. Yet we plead, Lord, thou wilt bestow it all upon us, especially thy spiritual mercy, for the pardon of our sins, our hope of eternal life. O Lord, lead us in the way of thy salvation, and may we know, oh, that solid rock on which we can stand and testify as David did. Oh, delivered out of that miry clay, established my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Lord, establish us in the way of thy truth. By faith, leaning upon our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us and to guide us through and to supply all of our need. We pray, Lord, for those that are affected by the virus. Lord, one known to us of the chapel at Mount Bures, in a critical condition. But, O Lord, hear the prayers for him. Lord, do grant thy presence known and felt with him. And, Lord, may he hear thy voice, a voice of love and mercy. And can it be thy will, Lord, to bring him, to recover him to health and strength, where he may testify of thy great goodness, thy mercy unto his soul. Remember the family and their concern for him, and hear all their prayers. Lord, the little children, as they long to see their father, Lord, bring him home to them. Lord, we lay these things before thee. And Lord, at this evening hour here now, the morning hour in America, the funeral service of our late friend Michael Pickett. Oh, Lord, do be present in that service. Help Mr. Tenbroke in taking the service. Lord, uphold the dear widow Anne. And Lord, in her absence from her family, and her family absent from her, oh, Lord, do grant still a unity of thy spirit. Lord, uphold them, comfort them, strengthen them at such a time as this. Lord, may they know that the work thou didst call thy servant to do is finished. Called up higher, oh, to be with thee, his Redeemer. Remember those left below, the family, the church at Shotto. Oh, Lord, we pray thou wilt provide for them. Lord, provide a ministry for the church. Provide all that is needful for Anne, who we would expect seeks to return to this, her land and her family. O Lord, do go before them and supply every need and grant thy richest blessing. Thou art a God that is faithful, a very present help in times of trouble. O Lord, may they know what it is to be still, to know that thou art God. So, Lord, we commend them to thee. Remember his son, Adrian, who ministers the gospel even here and throughout the chapels of our nation. Lord, undertake for him in the ministry. Strengthen and support him. Grant, Lord, there be signs following the confirming of thy word. Make him the means of many hearing thy voice. Lord, we lay others before thee unknown unto us, in their pathways. Lord, those unable to be here tonight for very many varied reasons. Oh Lord, we commend them to thee. Thou knowest the way each one takes. Help them, Lord, to commit it all unto thee. Lord, for thou performeth the thing that is appointed for us. And many such things are with thee. Lord, do humble us under thy mighty hand. Lord, give us the spirit of of resignation. Give us the faith, Lord, to know that what thou dost is ever best, although we cannot perceive it. Help us, Lord, to trust in thee at all times, ever to pour out our hearts before thee. Yea, tell thee all the truth, and find thee a refuge in the times of difficulties and troubles, anxieties and cares. We pray, Lord, for the children. Remember them in these difficult days. Those, Lord, who cannot attend their education as they did and have been hindered for many months. O Lord, do not let them lose, Lord, that which they should gain in their educational standard. Give them a mind to work at home and help parents in teaching them there. Lord, help those parents who teach their children at home at all times. O Lord, do provide for them. And we pray, Lord, that thy good hand may be seen in all that is attended to. Lord, we do pray for the young people. Lord, do help them day by day, hour by hour. Deliver them from many temptations and enticements to sin. Provide for them in higher education and their occupations. Lord, may they know thy presence with them and the blessing of thy spirit within them. O Lord, do make them the temple of the Holy Ghost, to rule in their heart, to govern their words and their ways. And Lord, do we pray thou provide all things for them, providentially and spiritually, that they may grow to be and can be confirmed as true followers of thee. Lord, may there be many of the congregation of this church, Lord, brought upon through thy love to tell what thou hast done for their soul. Oh, bless the ministry of the gospel here. Do not let it fall to the ground. Hear the prayers of each one, the prayers of the church, the prayers, Lord, of thee, deacon. O Lord, do grant answers of thy peace and supply their every need. Lord, the need is for the blessing of thy ministry as we gather together in such places as the courts of thy house. O, may we know thy spirit to remain amongst us. And thou doth speak the fear not. Help us, Lord, to continue in prayer before thee in all our matters, all our concerns, in all of our sins. Lord, who bless those that preach the gospel. Lord, there are those who are sick, laid aside because of their weaknesses. And oh, Lord, we pray thou wilt restore them. Oh, can it be thy will? And where one and another may have to lay down their labours because of age and weakness, Lord, replace them with many more. Those where the exercise is begun regarding the ministry of the gospel, Lord, bring it to fruition in thy time and in thy way. Oh, we pray thou wilt send forth, Lord, many labourers into thy harvest. Those taught by the Spirit, send forth by the Spirit. Lord, firm on the rock Christ Jesus and the sacred truth of his saving grace, sin and salvation. Lord, and prosper that work. Lord, do bless the labours of the such that many yet born and still are dead in trespasses and in sins may be saved by thy grace. O Lord, who break the hard hearts and make them soft. Lord, may they be poured out before thee. And Lord, thou doth hear the prayer of the destitute. Lord, do hear each cry put up to thee this night. Those that seek for their soul's salvation to be known and felt. Lord, hear us as we lay these things before thee. Lord, be with us as we turn to thy word. Lord, may it not be a dead word, just words on the pages of a book. But, O Lord, may it be a living word in the power of thy Spirit. Lord, deliver me from myself. May the words of my lips, the meditation of my heart, and each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, remember the work of the Sunday School. Oh, do not let it come to naught. Lord, may the children grow in the knowledge of thy truth to the blessing of their souls. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, not forgetting, Lord, the Bibles at the doorway of the church here. O Lord, those who are constrained to take a Bible, Lord, help them to read it, and may it be a living word unto their souls. We ask it, Lord, pardoning that thou wilt forgive all we ask amiss, seeking to ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 251. When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Hymn 251.
in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the help of our Lord, to open up his word of truth right to the profit of each of our souls. Let us your prayerful attention by way of text to the prophecy of Micah, chapter 6, and in particular verse 8. The prophecy of Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Dear friends, I do not have to tell you that we are experiencing a very terrible evil days under the wrath of God. The Lord has a controversy, there is no doubt about it, with all the nations of this world, with our nation, and also with the Church of Christ. It isn't the first time the Lord has had a controversy with his people. We read of it more than once in the Holy Word of God. His people may be worshipping him outwardly, with their lips, as it says, but their hearts are far from him. Dear friends, this is the controversy the Lord has with his church, with his people, when they turn about from the ways of righteousness, his righteousness, and turn to the ways of unrighteousness, even though we may think they're right and good. Our hearts deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. How easily they can control our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, and prevail in our conduct day by day. The prophet Micah here speaks of the Lord's controversy with his people. He gives reference to Egypt. And the Lord's people being delivered from Egypt. Now, dear friends, Egypt has been a nation for centuries. It began to prosper when Joseph was taken down into Egypt and became the second ruler in command. And for a number of years, things went very well for them. But after a time, a generation rose up who had forgotten Joseph, did not recognize the children of Israel. And they began to hate them and persecute them. Dear friends, our nation has been a nation for many, many years. It has prospered through the influence of the Christian Church, particularly from the time of the Reformation. But after a time, even until today, now, generations have grown up not to value, not to admit the benefits received under the ruling of Christian leaders and legislation, the ruling of our land in accordance with the Word of God and the Protestant Constitution. Time came in Egypt when they sought to remove the children of Israel. The midwives told to throw the boys that were born into the river Nile. And they put them to hard labour. Almost might be might call a slave labour. Dear friends, there's many influences today in our nation which would seek to overturn the Church of Christ and prevent the truth concerning Christ, the way of salvation, from being proclaimed and practiced. The time came when Egypt was met by the sovereign hand of God, who brought those great plagues upon it, and it was sorely afflicted. And dear friends, we come to a day today when not just only our own nation, but all nations, and unless not the Christian Church, prosecuted or persecuted, sought to be destroyed through all the nations of the world. And the plague of this virus has come, even to where we could perhaps apply that word, a sickness, because of their sin. And Pharaoh's heart remained hardened. And we see today the hardness of the hearts of unbelievers, leaders of our nations, who do not acknowledge God. Dear friends, there's nothing new that has not been. But there was a difference. When those plagues came upon Egypt, the Israelites, the land of Goshen, was greatly spared. Those flies and those darkness and the hail and so on and so forth did not come upon the land of Goshen. But dear friends, the plague of the current day has come upon the Church of Christ. Why is that? Well, dear friends, when we read of the account of Egypt and the land of Goshen, God spoke unto Pharaoh and said, I've put a division between my people and thy people. A division. And that word translated their division. Dear friends, is the only translation of the Hebrew word which at other times is translated as redemption or deliverance. I have put a redemption between my people and thy people. And dear friends, that great redemption was the teaching of those children of Israel how they would be saved from the wrath of God on account of sin. They were taught concerning a sacrifice for sin, They were to take that lamb, a lamb. Then we read, it is the lamb. Then the next verse, it's your lamb, which they were to kill. And they were to put that blood upon the lintels and doorposts, and there was a shelter beneath it. Dear friends, they believed upon it by faith, that that blood upon the doorpost of their house, and they beneath it, within it, their firstborn would be sheltered and saved from the wrath of God for sin. That is death. A redemption, a price paid to atone for their sin. Believed on by faith. And so they were redeemed. They were redeemed from the power of Egypt. For when that angel of death came over, their friends, they were cast out from Egypt to begin their journey to the promised land. Dear friends, we have a great redemption, don't we? Not just to be saved from bodily death. It was the type there in Egypt and the land of Goshen. But spiritual death. We have all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And there's nothing we of ourselves can do about it. Day by day, we can only add sin unto our sin. But the Lord God Almighty, gracious God, gave his only begotten Son to come from the heights of glory, to be made for that little time lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. Behold the Lamb of God, says John the Baptist, preparing the way before him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Dear friends, that sin is each in each of our hearts. Don't think we are better than others. In our nature we are not. We have the sin of the world within us. And we cannot put it away. And the price demanded by the righteous law of God is the soul that sinneth, it shall die, except the price that is shed blood of the innocent, the substitute, be poured out as the punishment of the guilt. And Lord Jesus Christ, the innocent, holy, pure, divine Son of God, gave himself that sacrifice for the sins of his people. All that the Father had given him. Dear friends, that's the only way any sinner can have a hope of eternal life. Purchased, a purchased possession. Purchased by Christ and that shed blood. Redeemed by precious blood, redeemed. Set at liberty. Delivered from God's wrath to come. Dear friends, how do we value that redemption? How do we value that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? His sufferings on Calvary's cross. The agony as he poured out his soul unto death. And the agony of his body, all his bones were out of joint. A suffering Saviour, paying the price for sin. That sinners such as you and I can yet have a hope of being delivered from being cast into hellfire and to dwell in heaven forevermore. Dear friends, how do we value it? That precious redeeming love, which God commends, God commendeth his love toward us, that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My mind of late has gone often to the book of the Revelation, where Jesus spoke to John concerning the churches of Asia, and particularly that first church, Ephesus. What a gracious church, dear friends, that it was when the gospel was preached to it. They were sinners, just like we and you are sinners. But the Apostle Paul testified about God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, he said, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for his people's sake he became poor, that they by his poverty might be made rich. And they who were far off, outside the commonwealth of Israel, Gentiles physically, and unbelievers in the flesh, outside the commonwealth of Israel, without God and without hope in this world, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. By grace ye are saved through faith. Oh, that precious gift of the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, where they believed on Jesus and knew the riches of his grace, the forgiveness of sins. When Jesus spoke to John, he pointed out all their good things. Oh, what a seemingly solid, firm, a staunch church was Ephesus. But Jesus said, I have one thing against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. Dear friends, is this the controversy the Lord has with his church today? With you, with me, individually, collectively? Do we value the things of this world, the things we have to deal with day by day, for our continued life upon this earth? We have to deal with them. We have to manage them. We have to contend with them. Or we have to be wise stewards. We have to pray for help, how to handle and make decisions, and so on and so forth. But do we value the things of time greater than the value of that shed blood of Christ, that redeeming power that cleanseth us from all sin? Oh, where is our glory this night? Dear friends, the Lord search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Dear friends, is Christ all our glory? Oh, can we say, as the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ my God. Dear friends, the Lord has got great cause for controversy amongst us today, hasn't he? As we give our time and attention, our hearts and our minds to carnal things, yes, we have to deal with them, but how easily we value them, trust in them more than we do in the saving grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We cannot truthfully say Christ is the one thing needful. I without him must perish. We cannot truthfully say he is the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. No, dear friends, that's when our hearts begin to rule us, isn't it? These sinful, see evil hearts within us. It's no surprise, is it, that the Lord has a controversy with his people. Dear friends, what is to be done? The Lord Jesus said to John, except thou repent. He would come and remove that candlestick from them. Except thou repent. Dear friends, that's what we need, isn't it? I preach as much to myself as I do to you. Godly repentance. Sorrow for our sin. Turning about from those things which we hold fast. Even the idolatry in our hearts. Covetousness is idolatry. Oh, how covetous we are, aren't we, regarding earthly things. Turn about from trusting in all those things, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that shed blood, to save us from all our sin, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things, all what we have need of, shall be added to us. Dear friend, do you believe it? Or do we put it the other way round? Seek first the things we have need of here upon this earth in all our abilities and our endeavours, in our business and in whatever we put our minds and interests to. And oh yes, we'll attend the house of God and we'll pray for this and we'll pray for that. And how easily we can put the things which should be first in second place. Jesus said one thing is needful. Dear friends, that's to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. Oh, our prayers, Lord, turn us again. Turn us again and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Oh, dear friends, I do commend that prayer, it's Psalm 85, I think, to you. Pray for the Lord's Spirit again to be poured out, to show us the sinfulness of our ways, all our shortcomings, all our failings, and to put the first things first. Dear friends, the good of this earth, of which we do need it, yes, of course we do, we should be very thankful for it, but it's limited in time. We shall one day need it no more. But we shall ever need the power of that shed blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin, that in that last day when we depart time for eternity, oh, we can look up and behold a precious Saviour. To look up and live through the faith in that shed blood which he had bestowed within us and upon us. The one thing needful. Dear friends, if we turn aside from that, then don't be surprised of the Lord's controversy. Oh Lord, help us. Help us. We read, don't we, is it in Hosea, concerning Ephraim, or shall we say Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Oh, dear friends, this God who has a controversy is a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He hears the cries of the destitute. He will not shut out their cry. Oh, here Micah has a controversy, doesn't he? Speaks of this controversy with Israel at this time. But you know, as we go on through this towards the end, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Dear friends, does that not cause you to cry and plead for it? Pour out your heart before him in that humble confession and plead for that mercy. And this Holy Spirit to rule our heart and turn us about where Christ is all our glory and the glory of that cross. Then, dear friends, he has shown us that which is good. He has shown us that which is good. Yes, Hosea said, take with you word. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. Dear friends, we must plead these prayers from the depths of our heart, mustn't we? Knowing before whom we come, an almighty God, a God that doth not look upon sin. It has to be banished from his sight. And our sin alone can be banished from his sight through the mercy found in the shed blood of Jesus. Take away all iniquity. Look upon me, oh, through that sacrifice of the dear Saviour. And may we know that answer. I will heal their backslidings. I have loved them freely. Now that's good. He showed the old man that which is good. Now what does that mean? We are to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Do justly. Dear friends, what is just in the sight of God is obedience to his word, to his will, to his ways. It's to walk, seeking his will above that of our own. It's to seek that all things may be done to his glory. That spirit ruling in our hearts, how we have to pray for it daily, don't we? Let thy good spirit rule my heart. Govern my words and ways that grace may abound in every part. And teach my tongue to sing thy praise. You know, dear friends, if we live neglectful of this, we have that solemn word which Peter spoke, don't we? Wrote, the time is come when judgment begins at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of God? Dear friends, if this virus today is of the controversy the Lord has with the world and with his people, his church, then how is he going to be put away? Man might begin to trust in the vaccines, and we thank the Lord where wisdom has been given to those vaccines, to prepare those vaccines, and that they may reduce the power and intensity of the virus. But it won't make it extinct, will it? Oh, we read of one form and another of these viruses arising throughout different parts of the world. It's a mystery to me. I'm sure it is to you. Now, friends, deliverance is only going to come from one place. And that's from the house of God. This true godly repentance, confession of sin. And as David prayed for confession of sin in Babylon, for the deliverance of his people, dear friends, so we are to pray, yes, for the Lord's mercy, rich in mercy upon us and upon the nation. Dear friends, what a responsibility to those whom the Lord hath bestowed his mercy and showed them his grace. In such days as this, is from those prayers of confession, at godly repentance on account of sin, pleading for his goodness and his power to return, it's from there that deliverance will come. He showed the old man what is good. What doth he require of you to do justly? To pray earnestly for the pardon of our sins, pleading that precious sin atoning blood, to pray one for another. Yes, to pray for our enemies. Oh, dear friends, the whole counsel of God is to be sought and to be obeyed. What doth he require of thee? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are much higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But oh, that last line, it hymn 667 in the last verse. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Now that word justly, here has an emphasis. It's not just doing something which is physically or outwardly right. It's something which means stands out. It's an assurance. And dear friends, we're to walk our lives a standing out in assurance, a witness of the good hope of God's grace within us. It's not to be hidden. Or where that love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, then, dear friends, we're to walk in love as Christ hath loved us. If we live in the Spirit, we're to walk in the Spirit, seeking to be just. And dear friends, when we fail, when we fall short, oh, under the grief of it and the exercise of it, we to come to that throne of grace, pleading that again, that sin-atoning blood of Jesus, who was tempted in all points such as we are, our glorious high priest, gave himself a sacrifice for our sin, tempted in all points, yet he without sin, to come there. It's the only place where we can find justice to be done in spite of our sins, through the shed blood of Christ, again and again. Do justly. Honour God, honour the Christ, that only he can cleanse us from all of our sin. Only he can help us, that grace to help us in the time of our need, to walk uprightly before him and before others. Oh, dear friends, to do justice, to be completely dependent upon him, the ruling of his Spirit, obedient to his voice. If ye love me, says Jesus, keep my command. Don't, friends, don't neglect them. Has he a controversy with you because of that deliberate disobedience to what you should do? But it's not of your own will. It's not of your own thoughts. It's not what you feel able to do. You don't want to stand out. Do justly. Then, dear friends, may it be that you come to know, if you do not already know it, the Lord's solemn hand upon you, a controversy with you. He showed you what is good. What doth he require of thee? To do justly, and then to love mercy. You know, dear friends, where the Lord has showed you that which is good, he showed you his mercy, hasn't he? Cleanse from all sin. A joy within you. Oh, at that time of your blessing, which no one can take away from you. Oh, how you could rejoice then in Christ the Lamb. You could have gone from heaven, from earth to heaven, couldn't you? Left everything here below. The blessings of your soul. Then, dear friends, where you found mercy, you're to love mercy. In other words, dear friends, we're to show mercy. That's part of walking justly. Dear friends, it's not easy to show mercy, is it? Not we of ourselves. The Lord Jesus very solemnly said in his prayer to the pattern of prayer to his disciples, part of that prayer, forgive us our debts or our sins in the Gospel of Luke, as we forgive those who trespass or sin or debt indebted to us, as we forgive them. Dear friends, do we? The Lord Jesus went on very solemnly to say, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Well, we have that solemn parable, don't we, about the servant whom his Lord forgave a great debt. And he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him a relatively small amount, a few pence. And his fellow servant pleaded with him to have mercy, to give him time, he would repay all, and he would not. Even that servant who at the initially time had been forgiven so much, it was cast unto the tormentors till he would pay every mite, which he would never would do. Dear friends, how we need to pray, don't we, for the ruling of the Lord's Spirit, that we may show mercy. How often shall my brother sin against me, says Peter, until seven times? Jesus says, not until seven, but unto 70 times seven. In other words, not 490, but every time. Dear friends, that's how we walk humbly with our God. And when we're reviled, not to revile again, but as Christ, when he was reviled, oh, he didn't retaliate, did he? He committed it, as Peter says in his epistle, unto him that judgeth righteously. The Lord to fight our battles for us, so we to commit it all unto the Lord, that there may be a peace maintained even with our enemies, to pray for them. Dear friends, when strife and division arrives, or even amongst the people of God, amongst the church of Christ, it's not the Spirit of Christ, is it? Oh, how that should concern us. It's the spirit of man that brings division and strife. Therefore, there's to be a seeking, oh, for God's mercy again. And in the seeking of God's mercy, to seek mercy one for another. Confess your sins one to another, and let it be healed. Oh, dear friends, there's many exhortations how we should seek to walk mercifully and justly. And it's summed up, isn't it, by this third account, this third expression, to walk humbly with thy God, with thy God. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. That is God and his mercy and his grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then to walk humbly before him, with him, leaning upon him, trusting in him at all times. Not exalting ourselves. Oh, dear friends, we read of that one Diotrephes, don't we, in the second, is it the second epistle of John? Who forbade people joining the church. Because he was of some high standard of himself in his own righteousness and hardness of heart. Oh, dear friends, you know, sometimes things can get to our heads, can't they? And we act more legally than we do graciously. From a sense, perhaps, of self-righteousness and maybe even the fear of man. What others may think of us. And we do not perceive the grace which may be in another. Walk humbly with our God, seeking his will, yes, to be done. We as guilty sinners ever before him, in need of that grace. And to be kept, as a shepherd keeps his sheep close to himself, so we to keep close, humbly, obedient, trusting in him at all times. And dear friends, it's not easy, is it, to be humble? when things go adversely against us. It's not easy to be humble when we have troubles and difficulties and tribulations which are bound to come upon us. The scripture says they will. Dear friends, if we need to walk humbly with our God, it is then, trusting in him, to be still and know that he is God. He will not forsake his people. All those precious promises are yea and amen in him. A very present help in times of trouble. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth them that trust in him. He performeth the thing that is appointed for us. Dear friends, all our ways, when he's shown us what is good, are things to keep us in that good and that right way, which leads to everlasting life, where we lose more of self. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. Oh, John was humble, wasn't he, when he said that? How he glorified the Lord Jesus Christ when others told him, oh, he baptizes a lot more than you do. He seems to be of a greater power and than you are. Oh, dear friends, pride can work in us, can't it? It's a very, very, very great enemy of ourselves, is pride. When it gets hurt, oh, all manner of evil can emanate from us. How we contend with the devil. Oh, Peter spoke of it, didn't he? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We all suffer the same temptations. But be ye steadfast, unmovable, strengthen, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What is that? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's our strength, isn't it? That's our hope, that's our power. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sufficient for you, sufficient for me, to carry us through all aspects of what we experience in our daily lives until the time when we come to stand before his face. Oh, then to hear that voice, come thou blessed of the Father, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Walk humbly with thy God. Cast him on him all your care, knowing that he cares for you. Dear friends, that's where we have our peace, isn't it? As Paul wrote to the, was it for Philippians? Be careful, be full of care for nothing, but with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because you can't handle them yourself. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which is good, which is bad, which is going to work and which is not. You have to trust in the Lord and seek to obey his will and walk in his ways. Let your requests be made known unto God. Don't tell him what you've got to do. Lay before him the case. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Oh, dear friends, that's the fruit of this text we've got tonight. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. Oh, to live unto him, cast all upon him, confessing our sin, praying one for another, seeking him, oh, to turn again in his mercy, remove his wrath and his controversy from us. Draw our hearts in love and affection again unto him, where he, Jesus, is the one thing needful, and we without him, knowing we must perish. Then, dear friends, may these exhortations rest in our hearts by his Spirit. Oh, to live unto Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And to be with Christ at the end of the journey is far better. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. The Lord help us. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on the Lord's Day morning, and Mr. Ridout is expected to preach to us at the usual times. And God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach to us on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Hymn 144.
Lord, do bless thine own word. Do cause it to abide and take root in our hearts. Exercise us aright, Lord, concerning ourselves. Exercise us aright concerning thee. O Lord, reveal in us each Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, the Saviour of sinners, that saving grace which is good, and help us, Lord, to serve thee, to follow thee, to obey thy voice all of our days. O Lord, do come, work within us, and cause us to give thee all the glory. Be with us as we separate. Shield us, Lord, from the virus. Maintain thy good hand upon us in love and mercy. And may we give thee all the praise for the many mercies that we have found. So, Lord, be with us now. Bless the preaching of the gospel which is to come, Lord, on the Lord's day and in the coming week. Lord, and hear all the petitions that are put up to thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.